Okay, you ready for me?
Yes.
Okay, and do you need to make an announcement after I call the meeting to order?
No.
Okay, all right. Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission meeting of Wednesday, March 13th, 2024, called to order at 12:02 p.m. And could we have roll call, please, Carla?
Sure. Alice Sandagi? Andrew Christopher?
Here.
Carlos Lozano?
Put his mic's up.
Carlos, you're on mute. Yeah. He's here.
Jeffrey Elbaz?
Here.
Helen Erickson?
Here.
Jan Mulder?
Here.
JJ Lamb?
Here.
Joel Ireland?
Here.
Julia Date?
Here.
Ken Scoville?
Here.
Kathy Kubisch?
Here.
Peter Spear? Vicki Riojas?
Here.
Savannah McDonald?
Here.
Steve Greedy?
Here.
Carrie Majewski?
Here.
Tim Hagyard?
Here.
I'm going to call Alice Sandagi.
Yeah, she had said she would be here, so something must have come up. So I have 15. Is that what you have?
Yes.
Okay, great. Anyway, let's move on to item 2, which is approval of the TPCHC minutes from the meeting of 2/14/24. Could I have a motion to approve as submitted?
This is Ricky. I motion.
Okay, is there a second?
This is Jackie. Second.
Who was that? I'm sorry.
Jan seconded.
Jan? Okay, great. So Ricky moved and Jan seconded. Is there any discussion? Okay, if not, let's go ahead and call roll, please.
Okay. Alice Sandagi? Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Jeffrey Elwood?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
Jan Mulder?
Aye.
JJ Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Aye.
Julia Date?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Aye.
Kathy Kubisch?
Aye.
Vicki Riojas?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Steve Breedy?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Hagyard?
Aye.
Motion passes 15-0.
Great, thank you. Okay, for item 3, chairperson summary of current events. I want to apologize. I planned to be there in person, but I have a rescheduled meeting with SHPO that I'm already going to miss the first hour of, so I need to do it virtually so I can jump right on that.
Hello, this is Alice the Donkey calling in.
Okay, Alice, thank you. I have you arriving at 12:15.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and also we have a lot on the agenda today, and several people have to leave pretty early, like right after 1, so we need to keep as tight as we can to the schedule, if that's okay. All right, item 4 is recently posted subcommittee minutes. Just, you know, look at the link for various things that go up. We've had a lot of subcommittee meetings, so they will, if they're not all posted yet, they will be soon. So item 5, removal appointments to commission subcommittees. I've got several, and what I'm going to do, we've had a lot of action. This is housekeeping. And I think all of you know about these appointments, except possibly Tim and JJ, but you were on the event subcommittee before, so I'm hoping to put you back on. So anyway, what I'm going to do is read what I need, and then somebody can move it, and we can do it all as one motion to save time, if that's okay with you, Carla.
That's fine.
Okay, so what I need, the budget subcommittee already has me and Commissioner Riojas. I needed to add a city person, so I would like to add Helen Erickson to the budget subcommittee. For the preservation awards subcommittee, I'd like to constitute it as me, Kathy Kubisch, and Ken Scoville. And then for the event subcommittee, it's me, JJ Lamb, Kathy Kubisch, Ricky Riojas, and Tim Haggard. So if somebody could move that, then we can move forward.
This is Joel. I so move.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay, and that's Ken? Okay, great. Is there any discussion? Okay, if not, let's go ahead, Carla, and call roll.
Alice Sandoggi?
Aye.
Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Jeffrey Elwood?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
Jan Mulder?
Aye.
J.J. Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Aye.
Julia Gates?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Aye.
Kathy Kubisch?
Aye.
Ricky Riojas?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Steve Greedy?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Aye.
Motion passes 16-0.
Great, thank you. For item 6, appointment of Jennifer Levsick as a non-voting advisory member of the commission, I just wanted to point out that Jen's second term timed out on March 7th. And in the past, sometimes the city clerk has let someone serve until someone else is appointed, but they change back and forth on that. So their current view is that she was off as of March 7th. So Jen has kindly agreed to come on. We're allowed to have several non-voting advisory members because her expertise in some areas is very important. And so I would entertain a motion to appoint Jennifer Levsick as a non-voting advisory member of the TPCHC.
Hi, this is Jeff Elwand. I move that Jennifer Levsick be appointed as per the motion suggested.
Great, thank you. Who will second?
Helen Erickson seconds.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Okay, if not, we'll need another quick roll call. I'm sorry, but we're getting through these.
Okay. Alice Sandoggi?
Aye.
Andrew Christopher?
Aye. Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Jeffrey Elwood?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
Jan Mulder?
Aye.
J.J. Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Aye.
Julia Dates?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Aye.
Kathy Kubisch?
Aye.
Ricky Riojas?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Steve Greedy?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Aye.
Motion passes 16-0.
Great, thank you. And I wanted to ask folks, if you are leaving the meeting early, please email me and Carla with your leaving time. And if you have the opportunity, just butt in and say you're leaving now. And that really helps us with the LAR and so forth. All right. Item 7 is reports from City of Tucson, Pima County, and City of South Tucson staff. 7A is City of Tucson Historic Preservation Office. Jody?
Good afternoon, everybody. I have a few announcements to make. So we did our advisory board training. One we did on the 28th of February and one on March 2nd. They were both pretty well attended. We had members from each of the advisory boards, and we actually had some members from PRS. We received feedback that everybody thought it was a pretty good training. So it was good to hear. And, you know, we passed out information for everybody in packets, and I passed that information along to Helen. And Helen's going to share it with the education subcommittee. So hopefully it'll be helpful. If you'll recall, I reported last time that the Atkins House over in Fort Lowell had a partial collapse at the southwest corner. Parks and Rec has shored that up. They are looking at other potential protections for it, and we have a meeting scheduled with the county for next week to further discuss it. Rincon Heights and Pi Allen, if you're not aware, are moving forward with the NPZ, which is the Neighborhood Preservation Zone Overlay. They are tentatively expected to go to Mayor Council in April or May. They have their design guidelines ready to go, and they're slowly but surely moving forward. They've been working on it for a while. And then I did have a meeting with DTM on the BRT project, the Bus Rapid Transit project. They are currently evaluating potential stops based on usage and existing routes. They expect to have a public meeting in May, and we are tentatively scheduling them for May to give an update to the commission also. Those are my updates. Any questions?
Okay, there's a question from Ken. You're on mute, Ken.
I would like to know when the meeting is, exactly the location and time for the meeting about the Atkins House with the city and county.
I'm sorry, say that again. I can't hear you very well.
Okay, I would like to know when meeting time and place is, or if it's a Zoom meeting, about the Atkins House with the county and the city.
I can get that information to you. I don't have it.
Okay, well, I'd appreciate an email update when you do.
Will do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for Jody?
Jody, I have a question.
Yes.
Besides Rincon Heights, who is the other neighborhood?
Pi Allen.
Oh, Pi Allen.
Yeah, they're both National Register districts. They sit right next to each other. So they're going to form one NPZ, or at least that's the plan.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Anyone else? Okay, thank you very much. Thanks, Jody.
Thank you.
Let's move on to item 7B, which is Pima County Cultural Resources. Courtney, will you be reporting today?
Yes, I will. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon. Jody reported on the Atkins House. I would just only add, if she didn't mention, that Durazzo is shoring the damage as a short-term measure for the collapse, but that Pima County is working with the City of Tucson on a long-term solution, and that would be an actual repair project. So that's currently being pursued, as Jody mentioned. And Ian Milliken will be heading up that discussion for Pima County. In another report on SunZia, in answer to, I'm sorry, yes, Commissioner
Ken.
Scoville.
Oh, I'll finish. Wait, finish your report, and then we can do my question.
Ah, yes. Thank you. On SunZia, in answer to Commissioner Steer's question last month on the counties taking a stance on litigation. So the county is not currently taking a stance on litigation for SunZia, but the county is actively engaged in the Section 106 process as a stakeholder and continues to support the inadequacy thus far in the identification of traditional cultural properties. The county is also continuing to negotiate with Power Engineers on fees to cross some Pima County grazing leases through A7 Ranch, northeast of Tucson. On Steam Pump Ranch, so Steam Pump Ranch is a 16-acre property in the town of Oro Valley, and it's listed in the National Register of Historic Places. And it has also undergone a lot of rehabilitation for preservation and for public access in the past, since 2008. And currently, the town of Oro Valley is proposing a series of improvements, including ADA walkways, lighting, and erosion control. Pima County is working with the town of Oro Valley currently and is planning on bringing a plan forward to PRS for review and comment in the future. Let's see. Another report is that Ian Milliken attended Preservation Week with SHPO in Washington, D.C. last week and met with Senator Kelly's office and also found out some information on Pima County's Board of Supervisors, Supervisor Lee, along with Senator Kelly's support. They have been working to encourage the transfer of 47,000 acres of BLM land to be transferred to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to be incorporated into the Cabeza Prieta Wildlife Refuge. And the town of Ajo is also in support of this. And as part of that deal that Pima County is supporting, around 40 acres will be transferred to the Tonawatam Nation, including a historic cemetery that is currently being cared for by the Hyached Atam District. And the last report is on the Historic Preservation Conference. This year it will be in June in Prescott, June 25th through 28th. And conference registration is now open. There is CLG registration support from SHPO to cover the cost of registration for commissioners. The only thing is that commissioners or CLGs who accept support for covering the cost of registration must also attend the CLG training workshops at the preservation conference. And that's all I have. Thank you. And Commissioner Scoville has a question.
Yes. On the Atkins property, I was actually there with Bob Vint when they were doing the shoring up. So I don't know if you have images on the inside. I have all kinds of pictures, if you would appreciate any pictures I could forward to you too.
Yes, that would be very helpful. If you could please forward them to Ian Milliken, Pima County. Thank you.
Ian Milliken?
Milliken, yes.
How do you spell the last name, just like it sounds?
Mm-hmm. M-I-L-L-I-K-E-N.
Okay. And the second thing, totally unrelated, but at River and Campbell, because I live up in the area, the county building that was moved a long time ago that had some expansion and all the work that was done on and the issues, the one thing that I'm noticing, they installed a clear glass door where a wonderful historic door that was carved by, I think, Helen Murphy was on that. And I'm imagining that probably ended up in somebody's house somewhere. And that should have been reinstalled on the property somewhere. Because it is.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. I did, Linda Mayro and I worked briefly with the owner of, I believe it was, can't remember the name of the bank off the top of my head, but for security purposes, they did need that type of door. So what we told them to do, and I can forward you some old emails on that too, is to display that beautiful door inside their building.
Did they do that?
I have not been in there, but that's a good good field trip.
Yes, I'll try and do that also. But that's, I was just concerned because it's a very unique, interesting door. And we lost the one in Jostler's studio. Somebody ripped that one off. And because I had a picture of it, they were able to try and duplicate it. But that one got ripped off. All right. Thank you.
Okay. And before I call on you, Joel, let me just ask Courtney and also Jody. So are there City of Tucson CLG funds for commissioners to attend the conference as well?
That's a good question. I don't have a response for you right now.
Okay, wait a second, Ricky, because Joel was after Ken, so hold on just a second. So, Courtney, how do commissioners request this?
Ian Milliken is with us at the moment, and he's actually on the team for the Preservation Conference, and he might be able to have a little more information. I believe all CLGs can accept that, including City of Tucson commissioners, right, Ian?
Correct. Yeah. So the process is that Ariana with the SHPO's office is coordinating that, and we did confirm yesterday that there is funding for commissioners to attend the conference. It only covers registration. A requisite of getting funds is that you attend the CLG training, which is on the first day of the conference, and then it gives you access to the rest of the conference at the same cost. So the funds would be directly applied for with the SHPO's office.
Okay, Ian, could you send an email to Carla that she could send to everyone? That would be really helpful so there's no confusion. Maybe you could coordinate with Jody that she's aware of these funds. And then, commissioners, it's up to you to sign up. You know, I'm not going to be herding the cats here. And so thank you so much, Ian. So Joel and then Ricky.
Yeah, my question is real quick. What time of the day, the June 25th is Tuesday. What time of day does the conference begin on that Tuesday? Is it 8 o'clock in the morning or noon or what?
It's typically the first day the training is offered in the afternoon, after noon itself. So typically they give the mornings to get there, and then it's a session in the afternoon that represents the first training with the conference beginning the next morning on the Wednesday.
And Ian, maybe what you could do in your email, you could have the link to – whatever the site is. Is it through
the
Arizona?
Sure.
Is it through APF again?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Okay, Ricky, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, my question got answered. It was just about the coverage for, like, lodgings and stuff.
Yeah, so it's just the registration. So,
right.
Okay, Joel, did you have another question? No, you're on mute. Are you good?
I'm just trying to raise my hand, yeah. There you go.
Okay, so everyone's fine. All right, any other questions on the Pima County update? Great, thank you very much, Courtney and Ian.
Thank you.
And Ian and Courtney, I have something to ask you, but I need to email you about it. And I will do that. I have it on my list. Okay, so let's see where we are. So item 7C is City of South Tucson, and I saw that Joshua was on. Are you still with us? You can give us an update? Hi there.
Yes, I hope everybody's doing well. Quick little update. I don't know if you guys heard that there was a big fire down at the Spanish Trail Motel or by the frontage road here in I-10 and South 4th Avenues. So unfortunately, that's an old historic building that's likely going to be lost here after that. You know, it looks like it's structurally unsafe, and the city is taking action against the property owner to at minimum right now secure it from people trespassing on there. But I think it's going to be going the way where the city is going to ask for demolition to clean it up for public safety reasons.
Thank you.
That's about it on my end. I guess I'll just ask, sorry, I know I've asked in the past, and maybe it should be a little in a group thereafter, after this inquiry, but somebody could just point me in the direction. How do we start with getting a commission set up? Like, do we need to do an inventory of our sites? And if we do, are there any resources or teams out there that might be able to help us in setting that up.
Joshua, what I can do is, I think we talked a little bit about this when you and I and Carlos met over a year ago, but I'm happy to email you, but really your best contact, you'd have to become a certified local government. Okay. And I believe, and then there's a person to talk to at CHPO about that. But let's, Carlos, would you remind me, and maybe we can have, find out a little bit more and help Joshua with that?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, thank you. So I'm going to go with the numbers. So Ken is first with a quick question, hopefully, and then Carlos.
Hi. The question I have, and it used to be this way, did the fire department do an arson investigation, and was there a report about the cause of the fire?
There is no fire investigation, to be honest. There's hearsay on who they believe started the fire. Nobody's determined, and there's no evidence. So we really don't know. South Tucson, I don't know if you've been following the news, but our fire department, you know, is very limited staffing. We don't have a fire department or fire investigator. So it's unfortunate. Yeah, it's one of those things that, yeah, just I don't think there's going to be much more follow-up. But other than that, you know.
Were there any resources that are salvageable that could be interpreted?
Honestly, I don't know. I really don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm on the subcommittee with transportation with Carlos, and I'll talk with him about it also.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Ken. Carlos, did you have a question?
Yeah, it was basically what Ken asked. Just hoping that there might be some opportunity for some architectural salvage. Because you'd be surprised, even like the mid-century modern screen block, I mean, that would survive a fire, and that has some that has historic value. But yeah, we'll talk, and then maybe Josue, you can let me know if I should contact the owners directly or what. And then yeah, Josue, we do still need to meet, and I promise I will get we'll meet this month. We'll meet soon for sure.
Sounds good. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks very much. Thanks for being here too. Okay, we'll move on to item 7D, which is Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility. And I think we have Jorge here for his update.
Yes, thank you. I'm gonna share my screen, and I'm gonna cut the camera off to save some bandwidth on my end. I always have some issues here, but give me a second. And yesterday, Carla was kind enough to forward some documentation that I provided to the group on the report today. So can you see my screen?
Not yet. Do you, Carla, do you have to, Carla or Anna, do you have to give him permission to share?
Yeah, you should be able to share.
Okay, hold on.
There we go.
Oh,
lost it.
Okay, can you see?
There we go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So I provided this quick one pager. I'll go through it. I know we're always pressed for time, but I won't go through each of these links should be working. So you can, if you want more information, you can go to the actual links to get, an update, not only now, but in the future as these projects are updated. So the big project is the Grant Road, phase 3 and 4 from Alvernon to Swan. The contract was executed in January. There'll be construction. We'll begin in April, and there is a pre-construction public open house that will take place prior to construction. The date is still pending on that. So as soon as we know something, we'll forward that to you. On the First Avenue Improvement Project, you're familiar with that. The biggest update here is that the task force applications are at the ward office, final selection, and then they would go to council in April. And Commissioner Lozano, I did, pass on your request to receive a notification that you're about your application. So I don't know if you've received anything or not, but I did pass the message on. Proposition 407, there's a couple of projects here. El Paso Southwest Greenway, 100% plans are complete. Construction's in 2025. With a lot of our construction projects, there are water works that need to take place prior to the construction, so there's always some coordination with Tucson Water. So sometimes those projects do not move along as expeditiously as we would hope. So the construction for this is in 2025. 18th Street, Campbell Avenue, and Pinal Bike Boulevards are 90% plans are under review. The 5th and 6th Street pedestrian safety walkability project, Campbell to Alvernon, is moving forward. There was a recent lighting study that was conducted and presented to the group, and the historic lighting will remain in place, and that particular project's at 60%. On this particular link, the actual lighting study is in this link, so if you want more information, you're welcome to go to the link. Proposition 101, Tucson delivers, Stone Avenue, complete streets. There's a small segment between Alameda and Broadway that's going to be extended for a cycle track. That'll be coming up soon. And then one of the new projects we have is Drexel Bridge. There'll be a new bridge connection in Drexel right now. Drexel just kind of ends at the Santa Cruz River. And so this will be a new a bridge facility to connect the neighborhoods to the Spectrum Retail Center. Upcoming events, Camino Miramonte, Palo Verde Bike Boulevard. There's a public engagement event next Saturday, Reed Park. And there's some more details here. There's a flyer that I will send to you afterwards. I didn't include it with the attachments because it's a rather large document. It's like a camera-ready document, so it's like about 5 megabytes. I couldn't get it to a more manageable size. So I will send that to Carla after this meeting. And then there's some general links to the different websites that we have for the projects. The 407 projects, as we mentioned, those do include the bike boulevards. Most of the 411 projects are actually related to street paving. There's some terminology that's used in those updates that I've included the asphalt treatments link so that you can be familiar with those in case you have questions on what a fog seal is or what a slurry application is, and if you want more information on the asphalt treatments. And also, the city last month rolled out a new request portal. So if you have some transportation-related issues, either potholes, down stop sign, any transportation-related, and actually not only transportation, but any kind of service request from the city, there's a new portal that's being rolled out. You can either call the number, get an app, or you can report it online. So that's what I have. Also, recently there are some staff changes at DTM that I wanted to make you aware of. Andy Bemis was previously our interim planning administrator after Jen left. He has been recently promoted to one of the deputy directors, and in his place, the new interim planning administrator for DTM will be Patrick Hartley. So those are the updates I have. The I've also included a 5-page spreadsheet, which is kind of it's in a report format of what is on the project's dashboard. I would encourage you, it's an 11x17 document when it comes out, if you wanted to print it, but you can actually just expand the spreadsheet to take a look at it, and let me know if you want to see something else when we print those reports. There's some updates were made to that dashboard, but I think it's still a few iterations away from being as customer friendly as it could be. So those are my updates for today, and thank you for your time.
All right, thank you, Jorge. Before I start with questions, I know you've got your hand raised, Carlos, but did I see someone? Is it Ricky?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Some of the links on the web links don't work. The asphalt treatment one doesn't work, and the Prop 407 one doesn't work.
Okay, I'll double check those. So let me highlight those right now. Asphalt treatments. Okay, thanks for checking. And what sure. I'll do is I can also send out a Word file, but I'll double check those.
Okay, thank you.
Great. Go ahead, Carlos, with your questions.
Okay, thanks. Jorge. Jody was mentioning the stop selection on the BRT route, and so is that prior to having your approved route that you then submit for FTA NEPA analysis? And the reason I'm asking is that last month or the month before, I think Commissioner Riojas was a little dissatisfied with the choice of the route, the stone route. And I'm wondering when would be the appropriate time for us to comment on that and perhaps suggest even an alternative route that might be a hybrid of stone and Oracle. What would be the appropriate time for us to weigh in on that?
So we did mention that there were a lot of questions from the commission on basically the general topic that I provided was that was the preferred location. And we did forward those on to the transit division to Ian Sansom. And, so when he makes his presentation to the historical commission, that would be the best time because that would be at the same time that he's going to get, initial public, comment. So I think that, that would be the best time to, ask those questions.
Okay, great. Thanks. And then one other thing is I want to go way, way, way back. At the earliest inception of Downtown Lynx, this was back when Jim Glock was the transportation director, there was a discussion about the 6th Avenue underpass, and there was an agreement that since the 4th Avenue underpass was being sort of renovated or changed and not historic anymore, that the 6th Avenue underpass would be taken care of and maintained up to historic standards. And I was wondering, so that would be part of Downtown Lynx. Do you have any idea sort of like where is Downtown Lynx now? Is that pretty much done or what phase of completion? And does anyone remember that commitment to maintain the 6th Avenue underpass? Like including like things like the historic lighting and stuff like that.
I remember it, but
good.
City. This is the city.
City.
Yeah, I don't have any details on it, but I've written that your inquiry down. So let me get some more details on mm-hmm. that, and then I will provide that. If I can provide it quickly, I'll provide it to the commission. If not, I will definitely make an update next month.
Thanks a lot.
Welcome.
Great. Is there anyone else? Ken, did you have your hand up?
I just wanted to make a comment. I remember,
go ahead.
I remember about the 6th Avenue also. And when the 4th Avenue originally, there was going to be a bike. The 4th Avenue underpass was going to be for bikes and pedestrian. One built a new one next to it. Then the deal with real estate and development pressures, they ended up destroying the 4th Avenue. But then at that time, they said, well, we will preserve the 6th and we will keep it up to historic standards. So things get forgotten too easily.
Right. Well, thanks for bringing that up. And thanks for your update, Jorge. I was going to say also that Jody informed me that Ian Sampson would like to present to the commission in May. Is that correct, Jody? Is it on this topic or we can ask him various things?
Correct.
Okay, sounds good. And he's considering that his public outreach to the commission?
That's
I'll
my
go with yes idea. On that answer.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Okay, well, thank you very much. Anyone else? I can't see everyone sitting in the room, so speak up if you want to say something. Otherwise, we'll move ahead. Thank you. Okay. Let's move on to item 8, which is commission subcommittee, other committee, council, commission status reports. 8A is plans review subcommittee. Jody?
We will be meeting tomorrow. We have a rather full agenda with a number of items and a courtesy review. I think we have a quorum minus Ricky and one item that Joel will have to recuse for, which is the courtesy review for the relocation of the Euclid and Speedway properties.
Okay, sounds good. And Jan, you're able to attend tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, everyone. Okay, item 8B is Downtown Neighborhoods and Residents Council. Commissioner Haggard.
Hi, here's Tim Haggard. I don't know if they want to still, it appears that there's somebody sharing the screen. I don't know if they want to continue doing that, but it's neither here nor there. There you go. So yes, I'm reporting about the February meeting and also the March meeting. Back in February, the speaker they had out was from the was about the TEP Midtown Reliability Project. They had a couple TEP representatives, Teresa Bravo and Clark Briner, and they were talking about the and the a couple months prior we had had a couple folks out from the that were pro undergrounding the lines. So these the representatives from TEP came out and kind of spoke about the line itself or the options. It sounds like right now we're back to about 4 to 5 options going over to the Vine substation from the Keno substation. And then there's some different variations going over to the Demock Petrie substation. So they're going to have another meeting coming up on the 28th at the DoubleTree. If anybody wants to attend, so there's some of them are there's some variations that are going from the Keno substation down either Campbell, Euclid, and there's some variations that split off there. But you can go onto the TEP Midtown Reliability website, and there's all the updated plans there. And that's like TEP.com/maps/Midtown/ they had spoken about also that it's undergrounding of these high voltage high tension lines is just not something that's been done in Arizona. There was some that has not occurred even in Phoenix. They're a lower voltage line that has been undergrounded, or there's neighborhoods that have undergrounded when the HO, the developer put it in, but they were all lower voltage, not these higher voltage. That's what they said. And that this is, it's not something that's at least been done in Arizona. And it's cost prohibitive. So they're sticking with that. So that was pretty much conversations that took place around the TEP, that meeting. Ken, you have a question?
Yes, the excuse that they come up with that they're a higher tension voltage, they never, when we voted for it in the city and all this other, do you ever remember that being a concern before or mentioned? That seems to be new info for me.
I don't know. I know that they, as far as my understanding, have always kept that it's cost prohibitive, to underground it. It's, there's a lot of
Right,
but they have stuck that line. I mean, and
but the new wrinkle seems to be, well, now because Scottsdale, I guess, had done that undergrounding, but now they've come up with the angle, these are higher voltage. We don't know if that's exactly true or not. Maybe it is. But it, and when they say things like that, the nature of this kind of argument, it doesn't mean they can't do it. It's just never been done before. That doesn't necessarily mean they can't do it.
Yeah.
Just because it's never done before doesn't mean they can't do it. So just another thought.
Yeah.
And it'd be nice to ask him these things. Maybe I got to show up at that meeting.
Yeah, I mean, so Campbell is back on as one of the routes, even though that gotten taken out. None of the routes look like one of the routes really goes through a residential neighborhood down some alleyways, and like I'm like, oh, this is not. So there's not been a lot of consensus within the neighborhoods because everyone's sort of, you know, pitted against everybody else.
Who gets shortchanged next?
Yes, and nobody wants it in their neighborhood. And then in February, there was not a speaker. Mainly the discussion that took place during that meeting was around the Pi Allen Rincon Heights were getting their, preservation zoned. There was just more talk about that and just I think the impact that'll have on the neighborhood and maybe help protect it from some of the mini dorm sort of the hope is that it'll have some protections against mini dorms and that sort of stuff.
Great. Thank you, Tim. Are there other questions for Tim? Okay. Thanks. All right. So let's move on then to item 8C, Historic Landscape Subcommittee. Commissioner Grady.
Thank you. So the Historic Landscape Subcommittee met on February 22nd, we took a look at the improvements, the streetscape improvements along 5th Street and 6th Street from Campbell Avenue and Algernon Way, which included sidewalks, streetlights, and some planting improvements. And so we made comments and about that or recommendations. The next is that we were looking at, and Jody, this is something that maybe we might get a little help with. The question came up because of the project in the Presidio District about the City of Tucson shared spaces, parklets, and streeteries, the draft document. And so we wanted to take a look at the draft document because it doesn't seem to have about historic districts or any differentiation between the guidelines for historic districts and historic streetscapes and not. So, Judy, do you know the statement, is it still in draft form?
Can you like froze out a little bit. Can you repeat that?
I'll be happy to. The City of Tucson shared spaces, parklets, and streeteries. That, remember when we were looking at the Presidio District, that was brought into effect. How's my sound?
Yeah. So you were asking, no, the last part. You were just asking if it's still in
draft
form.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it is still in draft form.
So were you asked to comment on it when it involves historic districts?
I'm asked to review when it does involve historic properties.
Okay. Because we were wondering if there was a possibility of putting in some language associated with the review process when these occur in historic districts.
I can ask.
Okay.
I can ask about it.
So what we're planning on doing is taking a look at this at our next meeting and making some just recommendations specific to historic districts, historic streetscapes, that might be helpful. Is there somebody who might be able to attend the next meeting, which is March 28th? And Helen has her hand up.
I can ask.
Okay, thank you.
March 28th, at what time?
At 10 a.m.
At 10 a.m. Okay.
Yes, I just wanted to mention that Jan and I were sort of sent off to look at the full draft document, and the link was broken. And I wrote to Jody and Corin, and basically Corin replied that she was going to let somebody know that the link was broken. But as far as I know, we still can't see that draft document. So I don't know. Jody, can you help us?
I'll see what I can do. I'll just keep with that answer. I'll see what I can do.
Okay, thanks.
It's not my department. It's a DTM thing. So I know who's heading it up. I'll reach out to him and ask. I don't know if Jorge has anything to add to that.
Maybe Jorge jumped off. Oh, there he is. Jorge, do you have anything to add? You're on mute. Jorge? He may have stepped away, so...
No, he just unmuted, Terry.
So you're having trouble linking to which page?
It's the draft of the shared spaces document.
Okay. Let me look into it, and then I'll send something to Carla.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Any other questions? Are you finished, Steve?
Not yet, but...
okay, go for it.
Jan has a question or a comment.
Who is it?
Jan, I saw a hand go up.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Jan.
Yeah, I just had a comment or a clarification or follow on about the streetscapes manual, whatever it is. It's, you know, we've had a couple things come in where it's being referred to as what people are relying on. So even in draft form, it would be good if part of the constraints people are considering reflect at least the fact that historic landscapes may be part of the consideration, even if it's in draft form, so we can start having it flagged in advance. Thanks.
Thank you, Jen. Okay, there's one more, and that is that we became aware that the Miracle Mile Historic District is actually an historic streetscape nomination. Jody, is that the case?
I'm surprised as you are.
Okay.
I don't think I've heard that.
So, Helen, do you know more about that?
Okay, I probably sent the chickens off in the wrong direction here. The point is that it's a district, and that district is a street. If you look at the boundary of the District of Miracle Mile, and so I think you have to treat this as a streetscape. And Ken has been working with Pima Community College on the historic motels that are actually part of this streetscape. And so I think that failing to look at it as a whole rather than as individual units there is also a concern. Because if you take out pieces of a streetscape and replace them with parking lots, you also have a very negative effect on the streetscape as a whole. So that was where that was going, as far as a concern, obviously, to the landscape subcommittee.
And Helen, and the questions, I just want to respond to it also. the actual street itself is part of the streetscape. Miracle Mile, when you, from Joplin, where it joins into Miracle Mile, was the first divided highway in Arizona. So the very aspect of the street, along with the motor courts, it is still an historic landscape, and there isn't any other way about it.
Okay.
I'll have to check with the designation. I will look at the nomination, and because Damian Klenko did that nomination, I will check with him also.
Thank you. So this is something that we want to take a look at. And if this is the case and it's not specific to the structures, then it's something that the Historical Commission may want to support the maintenance of the historic integrity of that streetscape and the elements within it. So, but we'll do a little bit more research at this point. And maybe bring this up at our next meeting.
Okay, that sounds good, Steve. Anyone else have a quick question for Steve?
No, looking at the, I pulled up a map of the district boundaries, and there are buildings that are included in there. Like, it's the street kind of links together subsections of buildings.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's correct. And I think you have to look at the district as a whole, rather than looking at the individual buildings.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, well, you'll let me know, Steve. Be sure to let me know by the deadline if you want to just report this under your item or, you know, for next month or whatever. Okay?
That would be great. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for that. Okay, item 8E is Commission on Equitable Housing and Development. Commissioner McDonald?
I actually missed it this month, so I'll update everyone at the next meeting.
Okay, thank you. Item 8F is Budget Subcommittee. I just wanted to let you know that Commissioner Riojas and I met yesterday, in fact, and we talked about the amounts that have been awarded for four different things for this fiscal year. That would be the camp training, the educational materials from outreach and education subcommittee, the birthday celebration, and the preservation awards. And so, we approved funding for the camp training as well as for the 2024 preservation awards program. And I'll say a little bit about that later, but just to let you know that things are moving with the budget, and for folks that are interested, the LAR will be up later this week or early next week. And if you have questions, please ask me. So that's moving, and so item 8G is Outreach and Training Subcommittee. Commissioner Elwan, Commissioner Lamb, who would like to report? Oh, Carlos, did you have a question for me? You're on mute. Or no, you're not on mute. Okay, cool.
Just when you get a chance, go back to item D, please.
Did I forget you?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's, before we go to outreach and training, let's go to Carlos. I'm very sorry.
That's all right. I'll be super quick. Okay, so a lot of things have already been covered, and some are still left on the agenda. So TEP is item 11. The Drachman Motels, that will be item 9. That's Commissioner Scoville's item. Plan Tucson is item 12. We've already heard about Historic Route 80 from Josue Licea and Rapid Transit. So all that leaves is Terry forwarded me some information from ADOT about the five-year plan. Transportation will look at that, and then we'll talk about that next month. And so all that leaves is RTA next, and I was hoping that Commissioner Lamb might have a Vail update for us on RTA next.
So as I understand it, the Colossal Cave Road project is off the plan at this point. There was some that the committee was tasked with, as I understand it, looking at all of the projects through a different, from a different perspective or a different lens. And that was, how do they ensure that each jurisdiction gets basically equal funding for named and categorized projects. Anyway, at the end of the day, the Colossal Cave Road project appears to have been eliminated. I will just say for the record, even though many of us out in Vail were opposed to this project, as it would have destroyed or eliminated really the last of Vail's historic buildings, that we weren't opposed to a project. There does need to be a project for safety reasons, just in a different location, and there are different locations that could work. So, anyway, that's all I have right now.
Thanks, JJ. And I guess that's all I have then, too, Terry.
Oh, you know what? I would like to say there was a vote to do a letter from the commission about that particular project. And so, you know, I would just like to say that I would request that that wouldn't be taken off the table. You know, as things progress with the RTA, there'll probably be another project, and it would be much appreciated to have the commission's input.
Right, and we will do that as soon as we hear when it's Carlos. You'll let us know?
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? We're going to have to pick up the pace or we might lose our quorum. So, but thank you. These are really important updates, and I apologize for neglecting you, Carlos. Now we'll go back to item G, which is Outreach and Training Subcommittee.
Okay. This is JJ. So I'll just provide a quick update on the camp. Everything is moving forward. There's a final update with the National Alliance for Preservation Commissions on Friday. But we're all set for our camp training on Thursday, April 11th at 6:30, and on Saturday, April the 13th from 9:30 to 11:30. We'll, after this meeting on Friday, we'll, you know, send an update that can be then distributed to all the commissioners. There'll be two workshops, that each have two subjects that'll be covered. And that'll be legal basics, community engagement and building public support, enforcement and violations, and a new offering that they have called Why Preserve. And the selections were determined based upon the surveys that many of the commissioners submitted answers to. This is a mandatory training. If for some reason that you're unable to attend, these are via Zoom, but you're unable to attend at the time they're presented, and I hope everyone, you know, will do their best to do that because there'll be discussion, which will be good. But those will be available for a limited time after their original presentations. So you'll be able to check in and watch them afterwards. Any questions?
So, JJ, we'll keep updating the commission as the time gets closer, okay?
Correct, yes.
Right? Okay. Thanks, everyone. Thanks on that. All right. So, item 8H is the Preservation Award Subcommittee. Now that we have the committee sort of confirmed and reconstituted, we'll be meeting. I think we decided that we would meet on... Well, I decided we'd meet on the 20th, if that's okay with everyone. And we're talking about a date, correct me if I'm wrong, Kathy, of we're thinking like May 19th, right? Is that correct, Kathy?
That's correct.
Yeah, and so we will inform you after we have our first official meeting. And, you know, this is – some of you have just joined the commission or haven't been on since we – ran the full awards program. So we'll count on commissioners and staff to help with nominations. And so we'll have a lot more information for you very soon on this. So anyway, thanks. Thanks for all the efforts, and it's moving. Okay. So item 9 is the update on Pima Community College owned historic motels on Drachman. Commissioners Lozano, Scoville, others.
Hi, I think I'll report on this. Carlos has been busy with lots of other stuff also. So tomorrow is our last meeting with the Pima Community College subcommittee dealing with the assignment that they gave us is an adaptive reuse, what to do with the existing motels, whether they stay or they're demolished, and what would you want to, what would you suggest in their place? And needless to say, it's been an interesting struggle, and I'll use the word struggle with this, but it's been an interesting experience to this. So, and I find this extremely, and I've lobbied for lots of times, very, very short time frame. We had one organizational meeting, I think, in December, but essentially we've had 2.5 months to supposedly put something together. So what I'm being requested to do for tomorrow night with other groups, community groups, is to put together a proposal forward of what I would suggest, whether the buildings stay or they're demolished. And I'm ready to present on that tomorrow night. I've sort of tried to do the be on the border with representing the commission, but also representing myself as a private individual. So at least for right now, I'm the proposal I'm moving forward with, and it does include the preservation of the three buildings. I'm going to present that as a private individual for right now. I can share it with you, and I don't know if you want to take a vote on all of this or not at the time. So I'll defer to Terry on that. But anyway, just a lot of complexities with this and a lot of agendas going on. And then I would imagine, because they've even tried to rush this a little quicker, there's a board meeting, I think, April 4th of the Pima Community College Board. And I'm sort of concerned that they're going to probably vote for demolition on that date. So those of us that are concerned about historic preservation probably ought to start getting concerned about this. I don't have any very viable evidence of that, but that's what I'm feeling about this. And we'll just have to see how it goes. There was sort of at the last minute, some of the staff at the college said, well, maybe we'll agree to a request for an RFI, request for information, to see if the development community and people out there would be interested in that. But we still haven't even got any confirmation that that's going forward. And tomorrow night being our last meeting, it'll be interesting to see what happens. So lots of dynamics that I'm not aware of that are obviously going on with the upper echelons of the staff at the college and the board. So that's sort of it. I can, Terry, if you'd like, I can tell them what I'm going to propose, but I defer to you.
Can I just jump in? So the commission has already approved a follow-up letter to our original recommendation, and we've just been waiting for the best timing to send that in. And so, I mean, we may as well send it as long as we've got approval to write it. And so, Ken, I mean, we can discuss that at transportation next Wednesday or whenever.
Right. I will know, obviously, at tomorrow night being the last meeting, I will have a greater sense of feedback from my proposal, which includes preserving the buildings. And we'll take it from there. Yes, we'll have a letter, and I'm going to ask plenty of questions tomorrow night. What should I assume the schedule would be for the April 4th meeting and all of this? So, like I said, lots of things that seem to be moving forward quickly, and it's just going to be an interesting experience.
Let's do wait and see what you come up with. And thank you, Carlos, for mentioning, because I was racking my brain about that. I was certain we had another letter already approved when it was time, because we knew that Ken was attending these meetings. So let's just move ahead with that and keep us posted. We can get out a letter quickly as needed.
Right. Terry, and I'll make sure I send you and Carlos an update after the meeting we have tomorrow.
Great. I'd appreciate that. Thank you, and good luck with that. I know this is a difficult issue. Okay. Item 10 is update on the status of the Solari Chapel at the University of Arizona. Commissioner Erickson.
I think we can assume that this is on hold for the moment. I think one of the offshoots of that we need to consider is that the preservation plan and inventory was only updated some 22 years ago now. 12 years ago. My addition's bad. Or subtraction. But I think that it would be worthwhile making contact with the people at the university and suggesting that this might be a time that we would like to see an updated inventory of historic resources at the university so we don't end up with another Solari Chapel fiasco. Mm-hmm. But we can talk about that later.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you. And Helen, what time do you have to get off?
1:35. I think I could weasel another 5 minutes.
Okay, let's move ahead then real quickly. Item 11, TEP Midtown Reliability Project, Commissioner Lozano.
Okay, thanks. So, again, I'll try to be brief. So Commissioner Hager had already kind of got us into this or introduced this item. So at the February 28th meeting, Clark Briner, you know, made no mention of undergrounding. And I was also the only person to bring up the undergrounding committee's alternative plan, which is they're calling it the halfway plan. And Commissioner Christopher had also brought this up because I believe he's attending the neighborhood advisory group meetings. I think the last one was on the 29th of last month. And it's an interesting alternative plan where they would use existing poles from DeMoss Petrie to Vine, and then there would be nothing from Keno to Vine. But I believe that it's implied that they should do undergrounding if they really want the redundancy from Keno to Vine. They should underground that. But there's absolutely no mention of that by Clark Briner. I mean, he almost said he didn't know what it was, but I'm sure he knows what it is. And the only other relevant thing is the undergrounding committee is recommending now that we wait to comment until at least May when TEP files their report with the Arizona Corporation Commission to the line siding committee, and that it wouldn't do any good for us to say very much right now. We should wait until either May, and then the final decision from the ACC is in July. That's my understanding, is that there's not much we can do right now not much that we should do right now. And I also wanted to just allow Commissioner Christopher to say anything else that he thought of, because, you know, he's attending the other meetings as well. Was there anything?
Sure. Thanks, Carlos. Yeah, the only other thing I would add is that independent of the CEC and the ACC process, they're also in Arizona Superior Court right now, fighting the city's enforcement of the Scenic Gateways Ordinance. So potentially this whole discussion changes, you know, resulting or based on the result of that court case. But it looks like if TEP does win this case, they're probably just going to go ahead and do whatever they would like to. But it's been made pretty clear from Clark and others at TEP that they have no interest in entertaining undergrounding of any kind. And they had no interest in the halfway solution either. But yeah, that's about all I have.
Thanks, Andrew. That's all I have too, Terry.
Sorry, I was on mute. Thanks very much, both of you. And let's move on to item 12, which is Plan Tucson update. Jody and Helen, please. I don't think Corn's on.
I think Corn had a 1 o'clock meeting, so she had to leave. I just had a little update. The next land use working group is March 18th. The transportation working group is tomorrow. Ricky's going to be going to it. Both of them are in person, so you'll actually be able to see how tall people are. So that's my only update. But Helen probably has more updates.
Okay. So we have our working group has met once, and we have gone over basically the items that were discussed at the previous historic preservation meeting with the city that was led by the city. We are planning to have another meeting on the 22nd. And one of our concerns now is where historic preservation is missing from the rest of the plan. For example, on green infrastructure, we don't have anything about the embedded energy in existing buildings or things like that. So the next step is to scan through the plan and to try to figure out how we can recommend to other subsections to include important information on the validity of our preservation undertakings.
Are there any questions so far? No. Okay, thank you, Helen and Jody. Item 13 is Pima Prosper's update. Courtney?
Yes, I don't have a big update. I will be working with Commissioner Lamb on this review. I have a conversation started with Mark Holden with Development Services on getting at least an outline of the whole plan and possibly other chapters so that we can look at the plan as a whole rather than just reviewing the cultural chapter in isolation. And that's what I'm working on right now.
Great. Thank you, Courtney. Are there any questions? Okay, thank you. Item 14 is update and discussion of city-county activities now that the city and county have voted to retain a joint commission. 14A is City of Tucson. Jody, do you have anything to update?
We do not. We are continuing to work with the county.
Okay. Ken, did you have a question on this item?
You're unmuted, Ken.
Yes, I have a question, but it's really for Terry on this. Last time I was in this, in the Research Library of the Historical Commission, I guess you turned in a lot of files related to all the work the commission's done over so many decades. Is that correct? Did you turn
I turned in 25 boxes. Most of them were mine, but many of them were Norman Niblett's, and I'll put that on. I'll talk about that next month about what I did.
Okay. Well, the quick question I had, Is that organized to the level that the other material in the research?
Which means no organization?
No, the others was pretty well organized.
This isn't as good as the other stuff, okay. I don't think, because I had some help. I paid some of my students to just put things in folders and things, but it's not. There's so much that, So we can talk about it offline, too, if you want.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks. I forgot to mention it, but I appreciate that. So, okay. So, let's see. Jody, were you finished, did you say?
I am. Thank you.
Okay. 14B is Pima County. Courtney and others?
Yes. So, we have new Pima County attorneys working with our Pima County staff, cultural resources staff, that is. And so, 2 weeks ago, we needed to present everything up until this point to get the county attorneys up to speed on what exactly occurred, the National Park Service determination, and the decision to remain as a joint commission. And so we provided the attorneys with all of the background information, including the beginnings of the commission itself. And so they are still reviewing those documents, and then we'll be able to move forward in presenting any appropriate and proposed edits on zoning code chapter 18, those text amendments, in getting the clarifications on the roles of the commission, as well as developing a plans review subcommittee in code. And that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Ken, did you have a brief question?
Yes, I had a question. When you're saying the materials you turned over, did that include the packet of research that we did with Helen and the other people? Did it include our little weekend project?
It did not. That is an excellent idea. Do you mind if I turn that into them?
I think
okay.
I'd be very happy if you did turn that in, so that they would get a bigger perspective of what went on, the purges that went on, and then the reconciliation, I guess, if you could use that word, of where we are now.
Yeah. And so, Courtney, you don't feel that they're going to say they want to reverse, you know, recommend that decision be reversed, or they just want the background?
Absolutely not. It was more a question of where do we put these revisions in the code?
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, then it's critical that they have that. If they would like any PowerPoint presentations, any other images, I would be happy to forward them to you also.
Thank you. They just wanted to know the big picture, just so that they can, yeah.
That's the soap opera story of the big picture.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions for Courtney? Great. Thanks a lot for that, both of you. Okay. Item 15 is update on archaeological site damage at the border. Usually Commissioner Steer reports on this. He is not here, so that'll be no report. Item 16 is Commissioner summary of current events. Does anyone want to share something? Anyone? Okay.
This is Helen.
Okay.
I have something I just would like people to know about. Currently on Governor Hobbs' desk is House Bill 2570, and it is termed as a low-income housing bill, but in fact what it is doing, it is taking zoning away from the city and giving it to the state. And some of the items that you will not be able to regulate if this pass is the maximum or minimum lot sizes, the minimum sizes of home, the setbacks are limited to 5 feet on the side, 10 feet in front or back. And so it basically is an attempt to override local zoning. And I see that this could have a very negative impact on historic preservation zones if the city is taken out of the mix here. And it's getting a lot of good PR from people who should know better, because while it is sort of entitled a low-income housing venture, as a matter of fact, it doesn't deal with anything to do with low-income housing. It's simply an opening of the zoning.
Yes, essentially this is a Trojan horse for the big-time developers to get everything they want. It's a return to Disneyland for developers if this does pass. The thing I wanted to announce really quickly is I think this is the annual Silver Spike event at the train depot this weekend. So if you have any friends, especially with families and kids and things like that, it's a very nice event.
Thank you both. Anyone else have an announcement? Okay, item 17 is call to the audience. Carla or Anna, were any comments made by the deadline?
No, we didn't receive any.
Okay, thank you. Item 18 is thoughts on inclusivity. Does anyone have a thought they'd like to share? Okay. Item 19. Oh, Ken, did you have your hand up again? Oh, you're on mute.
I just got to take it off. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Item 19 is schedule and future agenda items. Our next meeting is April 10th. And I will need any agenda items by no later than March 29th, but via email. But it's always helpful to get them earlier if you want to talk about them, or we can go back and forth. So that's very helpful. Is there anything that folks would like to have on the agenda that they think of now, or you'll just let me know. Okay, and Jody, please remind me again for the May agenda about Ian Sampson, if you wouldn't mind. I have a note, but I'll just say Ian Sampson in May, right?
Yes.
And we'll get more info on that. Okay, perfect. All right, well, thank you, everyone, for your patience. We'll see you next time, and we're adjourned at 1:26 p.m. And Carla, did you get everyone that had gone off and so forth?
Yes.
Okay, and you'll send me that link to the recording and let me know when things are due and all that?
Yes, I'll get that to you before the end of the day.
I really appreciate it. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye. Bye.
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 It was a training for the advisory board, so it was more